we could sing, "He's alive, he's alive, he's alive forevermore. Jesus has risen from the dead." Praise God. Shall we all stand and sing it together? Song as you're singing it, saints, "He's alive, he's alive, he's alive forevermore. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive forevermore. Now he's become my living head. Death no longer hath dominion. Satan's power is broken down." Do you believe that? Satan's power is broken down. Is broken down. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. Brother Ewald, come and help me sing. Amen. Sing it with all of your heart. May the truth of it grip our hearts tonight, my dear people of God tonight. He is alive. Death hath no more dominion. Praise God, because he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Praise the Lord. Those of you dear people that have been prayed for your healing, you just claim that tonight. Death hath no longer dominion, because he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Sing it with all your heart. All of you at the back there, up in the balcony, sing it. He's alive forevermore. Praise God. All together, he's alive.
Thank you.
come, he's alive, and he wears the victor's crown, and you tenors go way up, you know, way up there. Sing it with all of your heart. Let the courts of heaven ring tonight with a message that he's alive. He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Sing it again from the depths of your heart. All together, he's alive. The coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth, praise God, in 1975 is marching on. Praise God. Mine eyes have seen the glory. breadth of the earth, that in glorious harmony we could sing together and make the very courts of heaven itself ring. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. May the Spirit of the living God go forth tonight to and fro throughout all of the earth and bring together the ecclesia of God, that in one voice we may sing forth the praises of He who sitteth upon the throne. Oh, sing it tonight, people, from the depths of your heart. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Sing it with all of your heart.
Glory, glory.
Amen.
I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed.
Brother and sister round here, it's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in the victory in this family so dear. From the door of the orphanage to the from the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Oh, sing it again. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. in spirit. Oh, everyone who is weary and sad, come to the fountain. There's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be blessed. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart to the gifts I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. Child of the world, are you tired of your bondage? Weary of earth joys, so false, so untrue. Thirsting for God and His fullness of blessing, list to the promise, a message for you. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart to the gifts I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. Child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness thy longing can meet. 'Tis the endowment for life and for service. Thine is the promise, so certain, so sweet. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart to the gift I am bringing. While you are seeking, are seeking me, I will be found. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour flood. While you are seeking me, I will be found.
Try and sing that chorus with me.
I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour water on him that is thirsty.
prayer requests here we will take just before. Whoever has decided they're going to speak. But I have a couple of announcements that I would like to make, I've been asked to make. And pray for Mrs. Winifred Sedman, our sister-in-law, who has been in the University Hospital at Saskatoon since February. She had one leg amputated, and now they are trying to save the other leg. She wants us to thank you all who prayed for her at the feast, and she was greatly helped. Thanks, Sister Sedman. Sister Ellison of Prince Albert is suffering with numerous infections. A year ago, she was in the hospital. The doctors reported that she was suffering with leukemia. God has wonderfully touched her since then. She now has asked for prayer for her troublesome infections and sores that are troubling her now. We saw Sister Ellison just before coming back yesterday, and God has wonderfully moved as far as the leukemia is concerned, but the after effects of, I suppose, medication and things that she has had has caused other complications. And it just seems how we are thankful for what the medical profession can do, but they give you one thing that seems to stir up something else, and what we need is that life of the Spirit of God to be imparted into our bodies. And Grandma Sawchuk from Glenella, Manitoba, has had a gallbladder operation And prayer is requested for her that God will be with her and give her strength. She, too, is well on in years, so may God be with her. Let us stand, and instead of singing that again tonight, just before we bow our heads in prayer, I'd like you all to stand, and I'm going to have the instruments play that wonderful psalm once again. You just raise your hands and allow the Spirit of God to come into your life as we bring these requests before His throne. Fashioned and created of the dust of the earth, that thou art mindful of us. But how, O God, our hearts have been reassured even since coming together, that greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. For this dear woman tonight, sister-in-law, brother and sister Sedman, my Father, in Jesus' name, Thou who art the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Thou who created them and stretched them out and breathed into us of the breath of life, may Thy holy presence be near this dear woman tonight. Oh, my God, we believe, O God, we believe with all of our hearts that our enemy must no longer triumph over us. Therefore, our Father, we ask largely, we ask boldly tonight that the infection that is in this dear woman's body will leave, even as we ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. We remember our dear sister Ellison tonight.
God tonight. Brother Witter was talking about being reverent in the place in which we worship. And I believe that God honors something like that. As he said that, something came to my mind. And I don't know whether things affect you this way or not, but it's over 10 years since we've had a meeting in the old tin tabernacle over here. And, you know, I still can't go in that place without feeling a sense of the presence of God. Now, we had some wonderful and glorious times in there, and it's used as kind of a machine shed now. But you know, you walk in there among all the stuff that's in there, you just kind of sense that the power of God has been manifest there. And I often sense that when I go in there. And I think it's a good thing to be extremely conscious of the presence of God. And honor the things that God honors. I have so many things that Brother Doug said here that I could just say amen to. And God will bless and honor you if you walk in them. He will. And that's not just idle talk. I know He will, because experience teaches you a lot of things. And things that I have found myself endeavoring to teach my children in years gone by, I find them now teaching the same thing. You know, a few years makes a lot of difference to you. And I don't suppose Noreen will mind me saying this, but there were a few times that we had to be a little tough on her. But you know, she's the same way now. She's got her own family. And 10 or 12 years makes all the difference in the world. And you young folks, if you're 15, 16 years old, 10 or 12 years from now, I hope you've got your own children here. And I hope and I pray to God that you will be endeavoring to put into them the things that your parents are trying to put into you today. And you just think about that when Mom and Dad speak to you, because you're going to be just in exactly the same spot as they are, just not very far down the road. I don't have to prophesy that. I just know that, because that's the way things go. And I'll say this too, that the more closely you adhere to what Mother and Dad say today, the more closely your children will adhere to what you say. That's right, and the Word of God backs that up. And oh, it's a wonderful way, a wonderful order that God has given us. Now, there's a few things that have been kind of going over in my mind that I thought I may minister a little on. I may not talk too long, so we'll see how it goes. But the Spirit of God has given us a tremendous consciousness of the body of Christ and of the kingdom of God, and the fact that God is bringing His body together, and that He is establishing His kingdom. And I believe that probably as much as any time during this camp, God has spoken to us along these lines. And He has spoken to us about the seriousness of the hour that we live in. He has spoken to us considerably about our responsibility, and the fact that we, just because we believe, that doesn't say that we're going to go on into the kingdom and inherit it. The body of Christ, as our brother so wonderfully pointed out last night, is a remnant. The body which is, or the church which is His body, are called out ones. They are called out of all the spiritual nations that are in the earth. And I remember very well years ago when Brother Harvey quoted that scripture to us. I didn't even know it was in the Bible, and I've looked it up and read it many times since. And now I can't tell you where it is. But where God has called one of a city and two of a family, and He's bringing them unto Zion. Oh, praise God. And God is calling you and I. We haven't made it. Don't ever fool yourself that you've made it, because you haven't. But as Paul says, we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We are instructed to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You have a responsibility after you believe to enter in to the way that God has called you to overcome and to fulfill the purpose of God in your life, to be led by the Spirit. Paul says there in the 8th chapter of Romans that they that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And I believe that entering into sonship and being a member of the body of Christ is a synonymous thing. You're talking about exactly the same thing when you speak of sonship and when you talk about being a member of the body of Christ. Now this is a glorious body that God is calling forth. The church that He will have, Paul says there in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, it's a glorious church, without spot and without wrinkle. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, in the 25th verse on for 3 or 4 verses here. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." That is what He is endeavoring to do today, is to set you apart, to sanctify you and cleanse you. He says, with the washing of water by the Word. Somebody was talking here the other night, I think it was Brother Wiley, when he was talking about the Word of God. And he said that this wasn't necessarily the Word of God, but the Word of God was that which God spoke and which came by the Spirit, as it was as holy men wrote and brought forth that which the Holy Ghost impressed upon their heart. And that leading of the Spirit, that washing by the Word of God, that which comes to you by the anointing of God, that is what will sanctify and cleanse you and will cause you to enter in to that which God has called you unto. And then he goes on and he says that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, praise God. With our minds, we can hardly picture such a thing taking place. That the church could be without blemish. But that is what God's going to have. And I'll tell you this tonight, that He will shake you. He'll refine you. He'll work you over until that's what He's got. And somebody read the scripture in Hebrews there, how that He would shake everything that could be shaken, so that only the things that can't be shaken will remain. And that's what He's doing. And if you're getting shaken a little bit, well, just be thankful, because God's taking out of you a few of the blemishes. He's refining you. I was down where our son Mark works last winter, for a few days. And they have one of the byproducts of the plant he works in is silver. And they have a silver refinery there. It's just a small part of the whole setup, over kind of in one corner. And they have a furnace there. It's shaped about like an apple box, only it's probably 12 or 14 feet long and 8 feet wide and 6 or 8 feet high. And about once a week they put into that furnace something that is actually mostly silver. It's a byproduct of their other smelting processes. And they put this stuff in there and they turn the fire on. And as that heats up, you look in, there's a hole about 18 inches in diameter in the end that you can look in. And it just looks like a sea of molten glass in there as that silver is melted. And it's beautiful. The flames come from the top to put the heat on that. And that stuff is all melted and it just seems to kind of shimmer in there. And it's a beautiful sight to look at. But then a fellow will come along and he just has a shovel and he'll throw in a shovel full of something or other. I don't know what it is. But it's some reagent that when it's added to that silver ore, it's an alloy that's in there. And it isn't very long after he puts that in there that you see a lot of mucky, dirty-looking scum coming to the top. And so that stuff starts to rise to the top and the fire is going away there, hot as can be. I don't know what the temperature is, but it looks like it'd be pretty warm. And then finally he takes a thing that just looks like something like a big long-handled garden rake, and he rakes all that mucky-looking stuff out the hole in the front. And then you've got your beautiful-looking furnace of silver again. But you know they're not satisfied with that. The fellow, he digs into a different barrel and he gets another shovel full of stuff and throws it in. And you know, it's just a little time and something else starts to come to the top. And they rake that out. And all these different things, they did tell me what they were. I've forgotten. There's antimony and bismuth and all these different things that are in with the silver. But they keep that up for a whole week. And they take out a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And they told me that when they were finished, their silver was 99.9% pure. And then they pour it out and cast it into molds and away it goes to the mint or somewhere. But you know, that was a real picture to me of our experience as God deals with us. God will look at you and he'll look at me and he'll know that there's certain things within us. And a lot of times we're not even conscious that they're there ourselves. Did you ever have that happen when you didn't know you had a problem and all of a sudden it showed its ugly head? And there it was. But God is working through us. He is refining, and the scripture tells us about the refiner's fire. And how we are refined like silver. It's not a glorious procedure, but nevertheless, God is working through us. And he'll bring us out. He will have a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle. He's going to have that. Now, there are a few things that I think I'll mention here that
can cause weaknesses in the body that God is bringing forth. I never like to dwell too much on these kind of things, but in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning to read at the first verse, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Now I think that we've gone far enough along in the move that we shouldn't have to talk too much about this, but I feel I will anyway refer to it. It's always possible for us to have our favorite members of the body. We can have our favorite elders, our favorite deacons, our favorite traveling ministries. We can have these things, and we can say, "I am of brother so-and-so, and I am of brother so-and-so." But that brings a weakness among us. It generates a weakness. And the sooner we learn that, the better it is for us. I know that there are ministries who can minister better to a certain need than others. And when you have a particular need and you know that someone is capable in ministering to that need, well, that's the one you should go to. When my daughter wants a new dress, she wants a new dress made, she never comes to me, she goes to my wife. Because she knows if I sewed her a dress, she wouldn't wear it. But she goes to my wife. Well, we have different ministries. But when she comes along and she says, "Dad, the gas tank's getting a little low," you know, she doesn't go to my wife then, she comes to me. But there are different ministries in the body, and they have their place and they have their function. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't recognize this. But to set one above another it brings a weakness among. Always brings weakness. There was something among the disciples of Christ that I think I'll refer to in the 10th chapter of Mark. There is always, this is another thing that will bring weakness to the body of Christ. And it is something that always seems to lurk with us. And in this case, it was James and John. In the 20th chapter of Matthew, I imagine it's the same instant, but it tells us that it was their mother. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. And when we read that, you just think, well, now, what in the world is wrong with those fellows? But you know, we do exactly the same thing. Yeah, and it's one of the most insidious type of things, and that is a desire for power. Yeah, it's a terrible thing when you find someone that is grasping for power. In they always every once in a while you hear about there being a power struggle in the Kremlin. Well, let them have it over there, but don't let us have it among us in any way, shape, or form. It could be something that could so easily creep in among us as members of the body of Christ, among elders. It could creep in among the traveling ministries. It's something that could destroy us. Because of the weakness that it could bring. So this was their request. The one wanted to sit on his right hand and the other on his left hand. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. My, I've read that many times and I've just shaken in my boots. Yeah. And I believe that every last one of us will go through the time when we'll say, like Jesus did, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But I hope we can finish it. We can say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now listen to what Jesus said here. He says, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Yeah, it'll be given to them for whom it is prepared. And it doesn't matter how much a man will grasp after power, he won't get it. He may try it, but he won't get it. Because it is only given to those to whom it is prepared. I was quite struck with what Brother Wiley said about authority. And authority is given. It's not taken. And that is something that we need to remember, that authority is given. Just like Jesus said here, it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. It's given. And there are ways in which authority is given in the church. It's let's turn and just read in Deuteronomy there where authority was given to Joshua in the 34th chapter. Verse 9 says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. You see, authority was given. God gave authority to Moses, and Moses in turn, by the leading of the Spirit of God, laid his hands upon Joshua and imparted that authority to him. And he says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel, God transferred the authority. I shouldn't maybe say transferred, but he extended the authority from Moses to Joshua. And authority is given. When hands are laid upon you for your spiritual gifts to receive them, and for your ministry, authority is given for the operation of that gift. When hands are laid upon you and you are told that you should prophesy in the name of the Lord, you have been given authority to prophesy. Praise God. When hands are laid upon you and it is prophesied to you that you will have the gift of healing, you have the authority to go and heal the sick. Oh, praise God. Authority is given. Speaking about authority, let us be very, very careful that we don't try to usurp it. We don't try to take an authority which is not ours, which has not been given to us. When it is given to us, it will function. Why, there's a relationship there between authority and power that I never saw before. But if you've got authority, you don't need much power. That's quite a thing. If God gives me the authority, or somebody gives me the authority to go and tell somebody a certain thing, all I need is the power of speech to do it, and because I've been given the authority. That doesn't take much power. It's just a matter of authority. And I believe that if we can realize this, that God gives us authority in our ministry, why, then we've got nothing to worry about. Somebody was referring to the different I can't think of the word I want, the realms that are in a large company. The president has the authority over the company, and he gives his authority to the men under him. And they exercise that authority over the men that are under them. And so on, it goes right down the ladder to the man that's at the bottom. But they don't need a lot of power to exercise that authority. It's been given to them from above. Oh, praise God. If God gives us authority, why, we don't have to worry at all. We exercise the authority He gives us. But let us be careful to stay within the realm of the authority that is given to us. And let us be careful not to be power hungry. There's a tremendous difference. You can have power over men without having authority. But it's a different thing altogether. Yeah, you can have, when you have power over them, you can force them. But when you have authority, you can speak the word and they will act upon it. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Now, God has been talking to us considerably about the body of Christ and the kingdom. And the only possible way that the kingdom of God can be established is by the function of the body of Christ. I don't mean just one or two members, but I mean the whole body. That which every joint supplies. There is no way that a dozen or so traveling ministries can take the message of the kingdom into the whole earth. It's an absolute impossibility. But every last member of the body of Christ, operating in the authority that God has given them, will be a proclaimer of the message of the kingdom through the operation of their particular ministry. It's not necessary to be always preaching. The necessary thing is to be living and walking in the way that God intends you should walk. Walking in the Spirit, living a spiritual life. Letting the power of God be manifest in your life and in your being. I'd like to read here a scripture from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is concerning the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now this is what I want. He says, "But every man in his own order, or in his own band. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming." And I remember years ago, one of the brethren said this. And when Paul speaks concerning Christ and the first fruits, he was speaking of Christ and his body. Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. I remember when the move started, the first camp meeting up at the airport, there was a big banner up at the front, and it said that they might all be one. And at that time, we expected that every denomination under the sun would meet together, everybody under one big roof, and all one big happy family. But we found out, as our brother spoke last night, that there's a remnant. That there are those who go on, and those who are happy just to believe and be satisfied. But that first fruits company that God is bringing forth Oh, bless God, they're going to press into the kingdom and they're going to take the kingdom. Glory to his wonderful name. Oh, hallelujah, they'll take the kingdom. Now God is calling forth a remnant. And he's calling one here and he's calling one there. And a few here and a few in another place. And I can't help but rejoice in the way God picks his people. If he picked them all in North Battleford, what would the rest of the earth do? But you folks that are here are from all over the continent. Some people kind of smile when they know that you've been somewhere to hold meetings, and they say, "How big a congregation did you speak to?" And you say, "Oh, 5 or 6." But you know, God is calling forth a few here and a few there. And he is putting into them the spirit of the kingdom. And just as Jesus spoke about that leaven that leavens the whole lump, it will spread out from them. It can't help it. There aren't very many ladies that mix bread anymore, but I've watched my wife do it sometimes. And she'll take a big pan of flour and she'll mix the yeast in with it. And that working of that yeast, it permeates the whole batch. And that is exactly what is going to happen to the earth. The spirit of the kingdom that God has placed within his people, it will work in them and it'll spread out from them until your neighbor is touched by it. And then the neighbor next to him will be touched by it. And so on it'll go. And every joint in the body is absolutely necessary. Every joint in the body, it is important that they grow up and they function. Oh, praise God. Our spiritual life doesn't consist of 2 hours a week in a meeting. It consists of 24 hours a day, wherever you may be. Your ministry is with you whether you wake or sleep. And the Spirit of God desires to move within you and through you to perform that which he has in mind. Oh, praise God. Praise God, praise God. We can't leave it all as we used to think back in the old to the evangelist when he came to town. We're living members of a living organism from which flows the anointing and the power of God, that spirit of the kingdom which is within you. Oh, bless God. I haven't been very observant this summer, I guess, but I know last year we used to have rings out here on the lawn. They call them fairy rings. But I was thinking about those things one day, and they start with just a little wee spot. When I first noticed them, about all you could see is a little spot about 8 inches in diameter. And the grass will come up just as green as can be in that spot. And what it is a fungus that is growing there. And as you watch that thing week after week, that little spot becomes larger and it becomes a ring. And it keeps expanding and expanding. I don't know how big it would get. It would probably take in the whole lawn after a while. But, you know, the kingdom of God is something like that. It just grows and grows and grows. And I was rather surprised. I was listening to a gardener on the radio one day. And he was instructing people how to get rid of those things. And he said, just take your garden fork and punch holes in the grass all around the edge of this ring. This is going to cost you extra here, this little instruction on looking after your lawn. He said, punch holes all around the edge of this ring, then take your garden hose with the nozzle on it and poke it down those holes. And just squirt it just as full of cold water as you can. And he says it'll kill it. You know, when he said that, I this thing kind of came to me. You know, the way to stop the expansion of the thing that God is doing is just pour cold water on the moving of the Spirit. And you'll stop it right there. But let us be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. God is calling forth those who will walk with Him and those who will overcome. I pray with all my heart that I'll be able to enter into His kingdom with Him. I have no doubt about the cleansing of the blood of Christ. He says all you have to do is believe. And you'll be saved. But sometimes I have very grave doubts about my ability to be led by the Spirit to enter in to the things that God is calling me to enter into the kingdom. I sometimes wonder if I can make it. I know, like Paul, I'm going to do everything I can to do it. And I hunger and thirst after it. And Jesus said that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, He said you'll be completely satisfied. Praise God. But I'm not satisfied yet. I haven't got a very good testimony tonight. I'm not satisfied. No, there's far more that I want. And I know there's far more that you want. And God made all the promises to the overcomer. And when He said that in the third chapter of Revelation, He says, in the 20th verse, He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, oh, hallelujah," He says, "I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Praise God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When He's talking about supping with Him, He's speaking about us partaking of the bread of life. Oh, hallelujah. Partaking of the resurrection. Entering into that glorious realm that God has called us to. Now listen to what He says. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." And when He spoke about He and His Father being one, He also spoke about us being one with Him. And with all my heart, I believe tonight that he's talking about a body sitting down in the throne. Not a whole conglomeration of people trying to sit on one bench, but he's talking about a body that sits down as a unit in a throne to reign and to rule. Oh, praise God. And he says here that he overcame. And he says he was set down with his Father. And he says we'll sit down with him in exactly the same way. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Someone, I can't remember who it was, referred to the scripture in the 17th chapter of Luke. Verse 20, it says, Luke 17:20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Or in other words, it doesn't come with outward show. I'm thankful that we don't have to put on a big show to bring in the kingdom of God. All we have to do is be led by the Spirit. No, we don't have to put on a big do. All kinds of attractions to try and get people to come. The best advertisement in the world is a man or a woman who walks in the Spirit and ministers in the ministry they've been called to. You can't get a better advertisement than that. And it's effective. Praise God, we've seen it's effective. And he says here, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. I maybe should say something here. I'm not against an ad when it seems appropriate or something like that. Don't get me wrong. But don't depend on those things. Because your personal walk with God is a far better advertisement than anything you can put in the paper or anything you can put on the billboard. It's far better. But here Jesus said, he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And we need to remember that. But that is where that embryo that someone spoke of here, where it begins. There is a life within. The Christ that is within. That incorruptible seed which is within. And that is where the kingdom of God begins, within you. And it is important that the Christ grow. Peter goes on after he talks about that incorruptible seed, and he talks about the being fed on the sincere milk of the Word. That's necessary for that minute life to grow and to develop. And we go on and on. And the kingdom of God grows within. If there's going to be a kingdom, there has to be a king. And Christ is the king that dwells within. He is the one who rules within this fragile earthen vessel. And there are so many things that it is necessary for us to learn from Him as He dwells within us there. So much that we need to... appropriate from Him so much of His nature that we need to partake of. I was reading this morning in Proverbs, and I came across this verse in the 16th chapter of Proverbs in the 32nd verse. He says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? Yeah? If you can rule yourself, you're a greater man than the man that can take a city. That's really a wonderful thing. And I don't know how many of us can rule ourselves. We haven't grown sufficiently. The Christ within us hasn't developed to that place where He has taken the oversight of our life, where He rules us as He should. I said to him, I said, "Brother, that's where you come in. It's your responsibility to see that your family is stronger than the school. And if his family is stronger than the school will never give him any trouble." And I believe that's absolutely true. If he can so bring up his children that the ties at home are stronger than anything that can be presented to them at school, why, praise God, his children will grow up strong. You know, we can't protect our children from everything. We try to do that, and they're weaklings. But we need to teach them that they may know good and evil. They might learn to choose the good and to hate the evil. Oh, bless God. And the family is a unit of the kingdom of God. It's just a little kingdom, praise God. And it has exactly the same type of government as the kingdom when it fills the whole earth. Oh, hallelujah. Now let your families be strong. I've said this before, and I don't think it'll hurt to repeat it. When you young folks marry and you set up your home, set a time aside every day to read the Word of God and pray together. And it'll make your family strong. Yeah? It may cut into other things, but set a time aside to do it. Teach your children. Teach them the ways of God. The ways of the kingdom. Make your family a strong unit. I don't know whether I'm getting old or not. I don't feel like it, or I don't think I am. But the scripture says that your old men will dream dreams, and I don't know whether I dreamt a dream or I imagined something or what it was. But I just somehow, in my mind's eye, I could just see all these little units that belong to the kingdom all over the earth. All these little places where there's a family, where there's maybe just one that knows the way of the kingdom. Maybe there's a little group that meet together, but they're scattered all over the place. And I couldn't help but just imagine in my mind's eye them all growing and growing and growing and growing until they all meet together. Oh, praise God. And that's what will happen. Praise the Lord. That remnant that God is calling forth, those whom He is bringing forth unto sonship. Bless God. They'll learn to walk in the Spirit. They'll learn, praise God, to enter into their ministry. And through that ministry, let their light shine. Let that salt that our brother spoke of. You know, it's quite a thing how salt, all you need is a little water on it. You put salt on the ground. You just put a pound of salt on the ground. And you pour a gallon of water on it. Instead of it covering a patch about 6 inches in diameter, it'll just seep out. Until it covers a large area. And you let your life be watered by the Spirit of God. And that salt that our brother ministered about there the other day, it'll just kind of seep out from you. And you'll be surprised what an area it'll cover. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let us grow up into Him who is the head, even Christ. Let every member of the body of Christ function in the way that God intends they should function. And I'll tell you that God's kingdom will be, it'll surround you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. It's something that grows and grows and grows. Maybe you can't see it grow, but it's growing just steadily, steadily, steadily. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I think that's all I'm going to say. I just pray that God will bless these things to your heart. God will help you and I, help us all, to enter into the calling that He has given us. And that we may help in the way He has called us to fulfill the thing that He has in mind. Yeah, praise God, He's establishing His kingdom in the earth. And it'll come. A day will come when you won't say to your neighbor, "Know the Lord," for all shall know Him, from the least unto the greatest. Even the creatures will be at peace. Oh, bless God. Yeah, the carnivorous animal will eat straw like the ox. What a glorious day. But you know, the wonderful thing about it is that you and I can partake of all the blessings of that right now. You in your own personal life. You can do it in your family. You can do it in the local church. We can partake of the blessings of all that here as we gather together in the camp meeting. Oh, praise His wonderful name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God.
Teachers in the body. It means a lot to us. I enjoy teachers so much, and I share in their the things they say. But I've never been given the gift whereby I can give it out a second time the way they give it. Prayer request for Ed Prather in Tioga, is it? Tioga? But today I was reminiscing a great deal about the things that had happened to us, and today it's a month since we were leaving. That's about right, isn't it, Mark? 10th. But this time of the night there were a lot of new members of the family of God in Korea were seeing us off. They couldn't speak our language, but they were there, and there was quite an emotional time. And I felt strange tuggings within my heart, how much my heart had longed after them, that they might know the way of God. And I'm happy because I know the day will come when some of these other men will go back and lay those great truths that we all enjoy so much. We were breaking new ground and enjoying some many wonderful things, many very moving things. Things that I don't think I'd ever heard prayer as I had heard it there, and it moved me deeply. And I don't know, my heart really became so attached to them. I longed to stay, but I knew that our visa was up. For a matter of fact, we actually stole an extra day on them, and the immigration officer pointed out with a little sly twinkle of his eye and never said anything. But I was unaware of that, but we came home and we left a part of our heart behind. I was happy when the brethren decided to let us go back again, and we should be going sometime in about the 10th of August. We need your prayers. I came home and one of the early things that I did, I put on the tapes where the brethren prophesied concerning our trip. The number of things they said to us before we left, I couldn't retain them all. But when I came home and I was listening to the prophecies that Brother Irwin was giving, I could just actually relive it all as it unfolded in memory. Marvelous things, marvelous, marvelous things. There always are weighty things, but I had an awfully good partner, and he has also not only the ability to teach and exhort and sing, and he has multiple talents that you don't see. He just sits it out here, and that's hardly fair. We should make him work a little more. He's a storyteller. He told me the funniest story, and I woke up in the middle of the night laughing. Stories have always been a kind of a long shot with me, and good stories usually stay with me. But this isn't a church story. Maybe I shouldn't tell you. I should just let you go home. How many want to hear my non-church story? Okay. The man to blame is not the man that tells it. I am but the mouthpiece. The man that informed me is the one to take the task. This Irishman was a man that imbibed much. And coming home this night, he was really weaving down the road, and it was getting very dusk. So one of his friends, aware of this man's bad habits, stopped him and pulled him over to the side and reprimanded him for driving all over the road. And he didn't think he was driving all over the road. And he said, "Well, Patrick, get out of the car and walk down the yellow line and see for yourself." Getting out of the car, he swaggers around as a drunk can. He said, "I'll not only walk down the line, I'll walk right down that barbed wire fence if you want." So going down the ditch and up on the other side, he climbs up the post there, and he gets on the top wire, and he's going along like a tightrope walker, and it sways, and he goes flat on his face in the dirt. Shaking himself, he's getting up, and when he's getting up, there's a great vicious bull pawing the dirt and throwing it all up like this.
And he gets up and he shakes himself and he catches it by the horns, and after much struggle, he wrestles it down. To the utter amazement of the constable, he watches him put that bull on its back and then climb over the fence and come out. Oh, he says, Patrick, I can never penalize a man with such strength like that. No, he says, officer, arrest me, arrest me. Any time I can't take a bicycle away from a Protestant, I must be drunk. Now, that's the kind of a partner you sent me out with. But it had a phenomenal, you know, it does something to you at night when you're a little weighty. I woke up right in the middle of the night and all by myself had a hysterical laugh because he tells them much better than I can tell them. But there are other wonderful things that we had. And I'm going to tell you this too as I close, because we have other things to do tonight. We had been climbing up a mountain, and it was very steep, and it made me puff and realize how flabby and untrained I was. And when we came up to an area there, we could hear the people praying. It's a strange thing how that affects you. I can't describe that. I tried to write it for the Sharon Star. I don't know how many times I've thrown it up and put it in the waste paper basket. I just can't seem to capture that thing, that experience, that atmosphere in words. And as you could see where they'd cut into the hillside and the mountainside, just little places where they could go in there and wait on God night and day. But I think one of the great experiences was when we were in the large tabernacle of Brother Parks, who has also a mountain retreat. We'd gone through the whole site, and we're coming down, and Brother Merv was further ahead, and I could hear this great intercession. Oh, was that ever some intercession? I didn't know where it was coming from. Then eventually I found out where it was coming from. And here is a girl, oh, just about 25 years of age, kneeling there and calling on to God with all of her heart. I couldn't help but think, oh, if the same spirit could only come upon the young people throughout the length and the breadth of the land. You can't produce this mechanically, because this was in the middle of the day. But she was crying unto God from great wells deep within her. And I listened to her for a while. And then we opened that big tabernacle door. I'm sure it's larger than this place, because they say that, I believe they said it holds 3,000, is that right? And we went in there, and here is this girl praying. Oh, the atmosphere. It just breaks you all up, this atmosphere. And there she was, kneeling there, unconscious that we were anywhere near. We went up and we stood behind her very quietly, and we started to prophesy, and that spirit that Brother Livingston said would come upon us. Oh, and how that spirit did come upon us. It just rested on you just like a mantle. And we prophesied to her, and the interpreter told her what the gifts were. It very evidently stood out so clearly. And I thought, oh my, oh my, oh my, that's something we need. If we ever needed that kind of a thing, we need it here in our country. We need it here in these meetings. You young people, choose. Make that choice that you will dedicate your life to God and seek Him in prayer and supplication, and not see how close you can hew to the line of the world and keep one foot in the kingdom. It's so dangerous. God is going to answer these people, as Brother told you, things that they were talking about. There is no way to describe the seed on Mosa Mountain. Just absolutely none. I have spoken about it in the dictaphone, and I've thrown it away. I've written about it twice, and I've thrown it away, and I still don't seem to be able to capture that. There is something very unique about coming into Mosa Mountain. For that mountain had literally been surrounded by an atmosphere of prayer. When I was walking towards it, the little houses that snuggled right at the very foothills of Mossa Mountain there. They were crude little places. The doors were swung wide open because of the heat. The windows were wide open. And the people were just sitting there, some of them in the sun, and some were doing their work. As we came to the common well, the tap was running and a woman was scrubbing her fish that she would have for possibly the evening meal. When I came back, another one in the same well was scrubbing her clothes. It's that the standard of living isn't as high as your standard. They don't have automatic washers. I don't believe they could. They wouldn't believe there was such a thing as an automatic washer. But there they were, all this little colony snuggled around the hill. When we went up there, we were looking at, Brother Merv told you, this tar paper shack with its canvas walls and a very, very primitive place. You would hardly believe you would store any equipment in there, but this was all that they had to worship in. No chair, just a common little pulpit. And that's where these people possibly would be gathering before very long, in this place. While we were looking it over, there's a heavy haze hung over from the factories of Seoul. The sun seemed to try to be forcing its way through the smoggy kind of a sky. We were looking over the landscape there, and you could see long rows of women out there planting wheat. Very laborious task. Bent over, stooped right over, nearly double, handling little bits of shoots about that long, in the water up to nearly to their knees, and pushing these shoots down, all in a very even row. You wonder how they could get them so even, but they did. Hard labor, shake their hands, you can feel a roughness and a hand that has been worn by toil. Their little backs are bowed from heavy labor, and oftentimes their faces show the weariness of life. And while we were looking at them from afar, from our vantage point, Brother Merv told you about this little woman, 4'6". I don't think she'd be any more than that. Her face was as round as the sun. She had on her a kind of a white, bluey-gray outfit that went right down to her ankles that seemed to kind of finish off in somewhat of a pantsuit, but it looked more like a dress from some sides. I don't know how they make it or how to describe it. On her feet were just little rubber shoes. When she came up that hill, I wondered what was wrong with her. We'd have seen so many of them sobbing and crying in there as we'd ministered. But she was coming up that hill with her heart not only full of a burden, but a joy. And she was weeping, and I was watching these tears running down her face because I didn't understand the things she said. And she had that rolling kind of a gait as she came up this very steep incline. When she came to us, she started to talk fast in her own language and hold our hands and talk to us. And it wasn't until the interpreters told us what she'd said. Somehow, she had gotten away with God, and in her long hours of prayer and intercession, God had showed her that in this end of the age, as Brother Terry was talking about last night, and other brethren have mentioned, that God is taking out a remnant, and that He's sending men that will lay the foundation to the church in Seoul. We didn't mention these things to the people, but she said that she was so glad that the apostles have come, and above all, to come to Mossa Mountain. Oh man, I'm telling you, that did something inside of me. It was so much that it just created a real ache within my heart. We went home and we talked about that experience. We had been in big meetings, but we kept talking about this experience. And we agreed between ourselves, if we got a breather, we would go out there again and lay hands on her and prophesy over her that she might know where she belongs in the body. Today, there on Mossa Mountain, we have a little woman that we don't know her name. I would call her Mrs. 4x6, 4'6", or something like that. I don't know what to call her. Beautiful to look at, her face radiant with happiness, shining with a beauty that, oh, you cannot find by getting caught in the cosmetic counter. But this was a beauty that was opalescent that just came from her face. You just love them with all of your heart. I am so happy tonight that I shall be able to see her again. I am so happy tonight to go back to that people and hope that many, many will be joined to them. I was thinking since coming home as I read this scripture, and it said on the day of Pentecost about those that were, he said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The brethren have been talking about that not only last night but tonight. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I say to you, young people, save yourselves from this untoward generation that will take you down on a long decline of unhappiness. Save yourself from it. And it said here, and with other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day, and there were added unto the church 3,000 souls. I hope that by the time 1975 rolls around, that the Spirit of God will have so moved over in the land of Korea that not 3,000 souls, but over 30,000 can be joined to the Church of the Living God. We will be ministering to that many in one congregation when we go back in this time in this... Where's that town we're going to? Sungat Mountain? No, Young Moon Mountain. That's where we will be going by invitation. We need your prayers. We will be there about the 10th of August, and we'll be going right through. No, we'll be there by on the 15th of August. We'll be there at these meetings right through to the 20th, and we need you to stand with us, because I am happy that it is not a one-man ministry, and that we can share and will share in not only our own ministry, but we will dig deep into the ministry of those that are prophets and those that are teachers here back home in Canada. God richly bless you. Will you stand? Our Father, tonight let the blessing of the Most High God rest upon these people as they go to their various homes and to rest, to the various places to rest. And as those that come to sing, Father, so that we can do a work out to those that cannot attend this kind of a meeting, let thy blessing rest upon the singers tonight. Let thy blessing rest upon those, Father, that are weary in body. Let thy strength return to them. In Jesus' name, amen.